May 9th, finally on the way to Spain. Large aircraft filled with people. The woman in front of me has the annoying habit of leaning her seat back. Wine is served, but I don't have any. Food surprisingly good, though my body didn't appreciate food in the middle of the night, as it were. Beef thing, a hot apple waffle, were both delicious. Watch Barbie, which I enjoyed once I learned how to use the volume control, though didn't enjoy the music.
High up in the frozen air, we got Captain Happy Bandit in the Now Chopper.
Roger, Beepster, I picked up the merchandise, and we're flying high with my new co-pilot, Sergeant Vanilla.
Whoa!
Don't fall out the door, Danny.
No, I'm holding on. And the snow is milling around the chopper door out there like a crowd of sparkling superstars waiting for their 15 minutes of fame before they melt.
Hey, we haven't even got 15 minutes left, Danny.
Hey, Roger, people, we're on top of the homeless now.
And I'm going to be tossing these gorgeous little Princess Goddess talking pocket dolls up by the handful way down there to the children of disprivileged hopefuls from all over now town.
Is that a goddess in your pocket? Are you just glad to be up here?
Yeah, I'm going to go get the first box of dolls, Captain.
Box of dolls? It's only one of them, Danny. It's a doll drop, remember? One doll, one drop.
I love you, Danny.
Wait. You're going to drop her? Oh, no, no. You can't do that. Take us down, Happy.
Holy monster! Do you see that? This is it, Danny. Charlie's got a fix on us. Incoming! We gotta lighten the load. Captain Morgan's dead. Hanoi Jane has gotta go. Push her out.
No, no.
Do it, soldier. That's an order.
Come fly with me.
Sure. Okay, I will. Take my hand.
Hello. Don't worry.
We're camels in the wind.
It's 100 ticks to the ground. They ought to impact with some lucky foundling in about... Hold it. They're flying. She's got wings. Do you copy? Oh, my God. They're heading straight for the Golden City on the other side of midnight. That's got to be a happy ending. We're at minus 60 and counting. I'm heading home.
Had heard interview with actor on Dream Movie, and it sounded interesting, but then it turned into a horror movie, which I could do without. Before boarding the plane in YVR, a headscarfed young woman helped me remove the SIM card from my phone. I love the fact that Vancouver, and other cities, force you to abandon whatever prejudices you may have based on the appearance of others when you are in need of assistance. Frankfurt Airport is vast. Suddenly, there are people all around me speaking Deutsch.
Ever since they started speaking German on the first floor, I can't get anything worthwhile to eat except a little beer brat.
There are kiosks selling beer and German food.
And brought to you by the makers of Gablingers.
It's terrible!
And by Schlager beer, it's DWAP, not DWater.
Schlager with the famous deported flavor.
And don't forget Nordlander, the Rasmussen brothers' favorite beer.
Nordlander beer. There's a mermaid at the bottom of every bottle.
Look for us then, the friendly Rasmussen brothers.
Deported beer.
Every bottle of Schlager Rasmussen imported Nordlander.
Terrible.
Beer Company Beer, New York.
It is a long way to my connecting flight. Lots of greenery around Frankfurt Airport from the air. Madrid, too. In passport control, or whatever it's called, I'm asked where I'm going. Northern Spain. Why? I have to think about that, but answer expediently. Vacation. As inaccurate as possible. As what would I be taking a vacation from? They want quick answers, so I give them one. On the flight to Madrid, I'm served a superb scrambled egg potato dish that reminds me a lot of my two excellent scrambled egg breakfasts in the restaurant in Denver I dined at a few months ago. Still, it's substantial food at an hour when I should be sleeping.
Welcome to...
Not so.
No, it's Spain!
My Madrid airport gate is right next to the airline I'll be taking to Bilbao on Sunday, so I'm able to get a boarding pass from them, as well as directions to where I can buy a local SIM card. I tried speaking in Spanish, but that didn't go well, so the lady switches to perfect English and sells me 30 gigabytes for 20 euros, and then installs it for me. I ask around and find the taxis. It's hot in Madrid. The drive into the city is delightful. Lots of interesting architecture and mix of old and new.
Get Trucked Industries is age blind. But unfortunately, until we can do something about it, everyone is still getting older every day.
What's a motivated team associate to do? Here are four happy habits of truckers who appear to never age.
Sure, Peter Truckin' Pit.
Happy habit number one. Clothes and hair make you young.
Wear your baggies over your buzz cut for the long haul.
Oh, yeah. Come on, I do that
happy
already.
Happy habit number two. Youth knows no fear.
Tape your eyes wide open and stay asleep at the wheel.
I used to drive to that.
Happy
man.
Habit number three. When you hit the truck stop, snack thin, snack young.
Make it salt-free salt chips and a sports bottle of Terminal Shock.
Give me a Sleepy Joe, a double cheese
happy
paper.
Happy habit number four. Beer. Don't talk old, talk new. Example, talk old is...
What are you doing?
Talk now is...
Was real.
Was real.
Was real.
Was real.
Was real.
Was real. Hey, I think I got it.
My hotel turns out to be on the third floor of a residence, just like our hotel in Rome. The woman eventually lets me in, speaks no English.
Mi nombre es Deputy Dan, del Departamento del Sheriff del Condado de Los Angeles.
My name is Deputy Dan, and I work for the Sheriff of that's a very strange word.
Condado
there.
De Los Angeles.
I work for the Sheriff of the Jail of Los Angeles.
Gives me key for my room, for the door into the hotel on this floor, and the door to get in from the outside. For the next two nights, I'm plagued by people buzzing to get in instead of having keys. I change clothes and go in search of my restaurant, Inclán Brutal Bar. I ask for a cab. The cabbie refuses for some reason. Guess it's not far away enough to warrant a fare. I ask some locals, younger folk, one of whom bursts into perfect English. He looks Inclán up on his phone and gives me directions. Tells me to keep walking up the huge main street and turn right at the Apple Store. I never find the Apple Store. Tell the woman I have a reservation for 6 o'clock in Spanish, from which she deduces I have a reservation for six people, and she can't fit that big a party in. We get it straight when we switch to English. I don't have my reservation up on my phone, but she finds it in the bar computer and lets me in to a surprisingly empty bar. Very theatrical space, like Le Cirque in Vegas combined with Meow Wolf. This is what I'm expecting in Spain. There's a lot to see when you look around. I have been salivating over their watermelon tuna dish and had emailed them about it. It arrives along with a cocktail, the Barbie, and a bust of said doll so heavy I have to get up and lift it just to drink from it.
I went across the border, and when they opened up our luggage, there was Tiny there. And
I
said, "What's that?"
Four bars before I came over here.
She says that's a clay tomato.
It's a clay tomato.
And as they went towards the bag again, she said, pointing to a big object, it was all covered paper, "That's a clay pepper." Right? And so they couldn't take her word for it, man, because she pointed to this big bag and said, "It's a clay pepper."
Another interesting
and
thing.
So they opened it up and it was a big green clay pepper. Oh, right? It was existential moments, man. Borders are just one of them. They're the end, as we say.
The drink is great. The dish, well. The tuna fishiness overwhelms the watermelon. Not for the first time, fruit will be missing in action in my menu selection in Spain. The second thing I order, the artichoke with foie and amontillado sauce, served in a clay dish even bigger than the Barbie head, turns out to be the greatest vegetable dish I've ever eaten. I'm stunned. Have another tasty cocktail called Cruella de Vil in an equally unwieldy container. three for four. I asked the woman at the desk who had let me in how I get back to my area. Instead of telling me, she leaves her post and walks down the little street the bar is on to the main street, surprisingly efficiently. I tell her of my quest to find the best food, and she recommends some parts of Spain to visit, as well as some parts of Madrid. I'm as overwhelmed by her kindness as much as by the great food and drinks. Things are starting out well. This part of Madrid is intensely crowded, but I kind of enjoy that. The heat, not so much. It's enjoyable just to hear people chattering away in Spanish.
Capitán nos dice, nunca suban a carros de personas extrañas.
Don't get into any strange cars with Deputy Dan.
My body needs sleep, but it is hard to get. I tried reading Don Quixote on the plane, but its endless tale of a madman insulting people because of his delusions is too familiar from the daily news. Sagan's Dragons of Eden is not as interesting as I expected either. New York Review comes to the rescue. I listen to podcasts, read, eventually get a few hours sleep. For breakfast, a breakfast bar which I brought from Vancouver, which I usually bring along when I travel, as I can't always find actual breakfast. That's what I brought them here for.
It has often been said that Americans are suckers for creatures with foreign accents. With me today in the studio is a man with a particularly interesting accent, a bona fide Englishman with some views on American politics. Welcome, Sir Dingle McIntosh Foote.
Bad diet makes for bad government. If you Americans had substantial breakfasts of bacon and eggs, you wouldn't have the problems you're facing. A proper breakfast adds to one's judgments. You can't expect to start the day on cereal, shredded wheat, and muck like that. I don't care how much you jog and come to any sincere political conclusions.
A taxi to the Anthropology Museum. Vancouver's Anthropology Museum is my favorite building in Vancouver, and the Paris Anthropology Museum is one of the best I've ever been in. This one is old, small, and minor league, though thankfully free to those of us over 65. A photo of a young woman with a cat thrills me, as do a series of paintings of naifs from an Ecuadorian artist. The museum ain't much, but it has some gems. While I'm sitting down, a woman of my generation comes up to me and says, "There sure are a lot of cultures. Lucky for us." The Museum of Archaeology looks like a straightforward walk, so I go for it. It's pleasantly cool after yesterday's heat. As I'm walking along this wide street, the scent of flowers envelops me. They're growing by the sidewalk, but I'm not finding the museum, and the phone is no help. I summon a cab. He, of course, speaks perfect English, tells me to check out the bust of the woman of Elche, which turns out to be indeed the highlight of the museum.
I am La Brea man. I am first man. Wife and I live in pits. I discover pain and boredom, and how to use hands in self-defense.
I am his son. I am called Plowman. I was the first to dig the earth and make the rivers run backward. There was no stopping me or my wife.
I am his many cousins.
I chipped the stone.
I smelt the rock.
I bronzed the shoe.
I laid the asphalt.
Together, we made enough noise to keep the wolves awake.
I am his godson, civilized man. I harnessed the secret of the calendar, and with the power of the week, I built the pyramids.
I am his mentor, Hippocrates. I put him through school, where he learned to stand up for a principle and sit down on his own stool.
I am his father, Caesarion. I sent him away from home for something to live on and paid him to fight over it.
So now, everywhere he went, man dropped a great load of knowledge, forming a rich compost where slumbered the modifying spark of humanity.
also tells me of an Egyptian temple that is in downtown Madrid, which I will visit when I return to Madrid. The arty forks and spoons I'd observed at the Anthropology Museum reminded me that I hadn't had enough to eat before I set out on my quest for the Archaeology Museum. Now I'm starving. I see Man, Museo Nazionale Archaeologico, has a cafe. It has a pincho, kind of a ratatouille with tuna and puff pastry. I also order the tinto, red wine and lemon soda with a slice of orange. It will become my drink of the trip and a discovery I'll take back to Vancouver with me. The museum is immense and very well done, like the museum in Paris. One regret is there's not enough about Moorish Spain. One wonderful ceiling from its aesthetic is highly appreciated, but there could have been much more. Taxi to the rather obscure Tech Velázquez Museum, devoted to just one of his paintings, Las Meninas, which is my fave. ¿Qué tal? Asks the young guy working there. Muy bien, I answer, probably incorrectly, so he switches to English. I pay him, and the two young ladies, €9, and one of them leads me to the elevator. I'm given a translation box for the flick. It doesn't work, but I'm still deeply moved by it, though Hologram Velázquez speaks only Spanish.
Les enseña a cuidarse por las calles.
Deputy Dan will walk small Chinese children across the street.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Is that nice?
Deténgase, mire, escuche, antes de cruzar la calle.
Run like hell when you cross the street, because Deputy Dan is after you. That's for
that's
the ghettos.
That's a good one.
My first room is filled with mannequins in the shape of the wide-skirted maninas in the painting. Onto them are projected movies illustrating various themes, kind of a social-conscious Disneyland or Meow Wolf. It is thrilling. This is already my favorite museum when I go into a mirror-lined room filled with mathy kind of visuals flowing from the wide-skirted Manina mannequin. Yayoi Kusama's Infinity Room comes to mind, along with some Meow Wolf stuff. This will be the highlight of the trip. A cab to the Thyssen. Lots of modern stuff on the first floor. A lot different from the museum Fumio and I visited 22 years ago. Lots of video. Some good stuff. Moderns I like.
Well, today we're going to discuss subject matter because that's where the real insanity factor can come into play. Even if you can't paint a lick or even if you lick your paints. And if you do lick your paints, don't do it to the cinnabar, the red. That stuff will take your tongue and mail it to Taiwan on a stick, if you get my drift. So what shall I paint, you says to yourself, rolling your eyes to the ceiling. Grab the moment. See, there's an insane metaphor I just came up with, and what am I going to do? Rolling your eyes to the ceiling. I'm going to turn it into a high-priced collectible tramp art of the insane. I said collectible. I suppose I mean collectible. Sounds sort of like testicle, doesn't it? Well, I've got my canvas. We showed you last week how to pee on it. And here it's a pretend week later, although it's only a TV half hour, which you can tell by the awful smell still here in the studio if you were here, which of course you aren't. And lucky for you, too. Okay, first, I'm going to do the eyes because the ceiling, see, will be orange, and I like to get the orange stirred up good. Let's just stir it up with an anvil, I think it is. Luther, would you stir it up there? Now, eyes are round. I'm using a color. Doesn't matter which. They're pretty much all the same. And we put in these dots in the eyes, whatever they're called, eyeballs or something like that. Then we go back across the studio here and hurl the orange from over here. Looks pretty much like one more splork here. Here we go. Looks just like Taiwan to me. Now, those smudges could be palm trees. They might be ducks. But that's the kind of insane ambiguity we want. I'll do the stick with this color. You remember I said, mail it to Taiwan on a stick. This is the stick part. It's a wonderful color, that one. I don't know what it's called. I suppose it has a name. Who cares, really? Painting in the stick's a little harder. I'm going to use my palette. Oh, you caught me there, didn't you? You think I meant my palette knife and that I'd made a mistake, and that's where you'd be as wrong as a doorknob on a donut. I'm going to take my entire palette with the thumb, see, that goes right through the little hole for the thumb, and I put it right here, and I start swirling it around, and then I sit on it. And I swirl my elegant buttocks around, and I take a look. I stand back, not too far back, or I'd be off camera. That wouldn't be much of a TV show, would it? Well, there you go. Looks just as surreal as if Tristan Zara himself had swirled his butt on it. And it's worth a lot more to some collector who himself is insane to be collecting the art of the insane.
The menu for their cafe sounds intriguing online, so I went there, slowly recovering from walking through the vastness of the place. Alas, only sandwiches available at that hour. I have a croissant with walnuts and blue cheese with a glass of cava, both very good, and then things would go downhill from there. Cab 2 El Minibar. I had such high hopes for this place from their reviews. Seems fusion-oriented, like last night's Inclan. The tall, sullen woman who takes my order gives me a free tapa, a tiny tuna sandwich, and decides my order of their award-winning Breton tapa and another with eggplant would be enough. My sangria is quite good. The free tuna tapa reminded me of Fumio's tuna sandwich she made for me just before my plane took off. Then the ordered tapa arrives. Basically, hot cheese with some very sweet tomato jam. Very hard to eat. Having visited Brittany on my last trip to Europe in 2017, I'm familiar with the food and fail to see how the tapa is at all Breton. As the cheese cools, it hardens, and I'm reminded of the fire sign riff on hard cheese.
It is a strange war that doesn't do things to languages. And one of the interesting byproducts of World War II is a series of expressions that appeared in England. For instance, Americans will undoubtedly soon be endeavoring to fit scran, choker, and wizard into their own speech. In World War II, a rookie is no longer a rookie. He is an irk. Nothing is ever bad.
He is irked.
He is irked, right.
That's all that's left of him after the bombshell. All I found was his irk, which is, you know, which is, right? Which is the neck without an end.
With a little metal on it.
A little metal on it, right?
It's a knife without a handle.
Knife without a handle in his neck without an end. And an irk. And narcs are guys that go around doing that now, and it's legal.
That's right. Nothing is ever bad. It is ropey.
Ropey?
Right. And a ropey job is likely as not to be a blonde who proved uncollaborative.
Uncollaborative? This is what collaboration means. I keep assuming a lot of people don't know these words. Yeah, that's when you get your hair shaved for being a collaborator, baby. That means you and the...
This was 1942.
The schnacker.
Sophia Loren got lots of mileage out of making movies like that.
Anything that turns out badly...
Collaboration!
Yeah.
Vittorio De Sica. Right.
You know, I've noticed...
Sophia Loren. Lorenzo Bicycle.
Right. Right.
I've noticed that you hold your breath when you smoke a normal cigarette. Anything that turns out badly, whether
how
it be...
How do you know this is a normal cigarette?
That's a normal cigarette. How do you like the taste, Phil?
It's wonderful. And it doesn't upset my stomach.
A soldier is never fed up to the teeth. He's browned off or brassed off. When army things are under control, they're buttoned up. Otherwise, they may be cheesed.
Cheese.
That's where hard cheese comes from. Hard cheese. Terry
hard
Thomas
cheese. Right, that man's. There's a cryogenics concern in Glendale now called Solid Jackson.
Really?
That's right, man.
Sleeping is zizzing.
Is that true?
That's true.
Sleeping
is right next to that big pond of fish.
Listen.
Lunatic in the moonlight.
Okay.
Oh, I see.
I see. No, DC.
The two stories sort of tend to corroborate each other. Right?
They collaborate.
Or collaborate.
Right. Right. The schnacka told them to.
You said it.
No, I didn't. All I said right. The schnacka.
Anyway, wait a minute. I don't think it's schnacka. I think we got another word for this. Yeah, the word this time is, let's see, stupor. That was
not
last
the stupor.
Week. No, that was two weeks ago.
Stupor is what you get in if you're stupid.
Yeah, the Agnew.
The Agnew?
The Agnew.
The Agnew is the name?
Oh,
yeah.
He's
yeah.
Number two.
So don't mention the little, the little
Agnew.
Now, here's some language that'll probably tickle the fancy of a lot of girls out there in the audience. This is the language that came from the lips of the pert young wrens, as the blue uniform girls of the Women's Royal Naval Service are called. You probably remember that, Annalie. When a wren
they
says...
They cut their hair to make wigs for enemy agents. You know? That's right.
When a wren says, I mustn't be adrift too late, or else the jaunty will put me in the rattle and the bloke will give me a bottle. She means... I must return from leave on time, or the master-at-arms will bring me before the commanding officer for a lecture.
for Electron, actually. Right.
When Jenny the Wren is fed up with the world, she is Chukka. And when she grumbles, she's guilty of dripping. Sleeping is zizzing, whether it's on the job or in the hammock.
Are you zizzing or dripping, dear?
To the Wren, her sailor boyfriend is a killick, or if he's a soldier, he's a pongo.
Pongo! Oh, you're dripping again.
Crushers are male or female petty officers.
Oh, well, take a look at this.
This chicken last week.
I was cheesed off, so I jumped at her.
When a sweetheart or companion in the Navy is an oppo.
Oh, yeah.
An oppo.
Pongo, oppo, oppo.
When a Wren, killick, or battle ship is dressed up, she, he, or it is tiddly. And when a sailor goes on leave, he goes up the line. I'm going up the line with a dripping broad. Get me some tiddly. A parachute is not a parachute, but a brolly. The rear gunner's turret is the dustbin. A coastal command plane is a kipper kite. The bomb-dropping mechanism is a Mickey Mouse.
No, and Mickey Moused.
Oh, Mickey Mist. And the automatic pilot is George.
Hi, George.
A fighter pilot climbs into the pulpit of his plane and pulls the greenhouse.
Does
cockpit.
What? Does what? Climbs,
climbs
into, the
into the pulpit of his plane.
Ready for the flash, Pastor?
Yeah, all right. And pulls the greenhouse cockpit cover over him when he's off to hunt a solid lump of blitz. He's off
dripping
to hunt
blitz,
a solid lump of blitz.
The copper kite gave me some dripping blints.
Which
no,
is enemy,
right.
Enemy
that's
formation.
That's not right, is it?
Waiting in the air for a Junker Schmidt to appear, he snakes about or plays pussy in the clouds. Then he screams downhill and sends the German into the drink with a quickie. Can you believe it?
You couldn't put those words together on the air without being lewd.
Each month, a few outstanding pilots polish their buttons and go to Buckingham Palace to collect a gong. No flyer spares his contempt for the penguins, the non-flying administrative officers in the RAF. Everything is a type in the RAF, and all flyers take views. If a girl has good lines, she may be a pucker type. But a Heinkel pilot who shoots too soon or runs for home is definitely a poor type or just a pleep. A pilot takes an outside view of Berlin when the air over the Nazi capital is full of flak and crickets. German night fighters, but when a weekend with no operations and a Saturday night party has been laid on, the view is definitely wizard.
Wizard, and it takes
wizard.
A wizard.
Hot cheese. She's a pucker type.
Yeah, right.
Good-o.
Pongo. Zzz, drip, 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 drip. What a war.
Hot cheese.
Far out.
The second tapa is actually worse. A huge meal in itself, but not a good one. Eggplant wrapped with bacon and a thick tomato sauce with feta and orange sounds much better than it is. A twisted slice of orange on top, but the orange should have been integrated in the sauce. Both it and the hard cheese are daunting, and the second sangria I order is also a failure, though it slightly improves as the ice melts. And the whole bar is not exactly welcoming, unlike last night's incline. A taxi driver refuses to take me back to my hotel, saying that area is closed to traffic at this time. It's Saturday evening. I take the metro. It's only one stop and easy to use. We'll make more use of it when I return to Madrid on the 20th. The following morning, a cab ride takes me to the airport for my flight to Bilbao. Good thing I'm wearing sweatpants, as men with belts have to remove them. Odd, I think, for a national flight, but not required on international flights. I finally have some fruit at the airport, a fruit cup devoid of melon. I'm elated. The fruit cups in Vegas are all sodden with melon. A short, pleasant flight to Bilbao. Very different vibe from Madrid. Much cooler. Intimations of rain.